Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm in Roodepoort in Johannesburg today to talk to Mondi Hutton and Jaco Fisagie, co-founders of Skywire Technologies, and to Andy Openshaw, CEO of the communications cluster at Roynet, the big JSE-listed electronics, technology, and electrical group that owns businesses such as ECN and Nashua in the ICT space. Roynet, of course, announced this week that it was acquiring Skywire. Andy, let me start with you. How did this deal come about, and why did you decide to buy the company?
Hello, Duncan, and thank you for the opportunity to join you on your podcast. They've been interesting things to listen to over the last number of months, and I think they've hit a nice spot.
Thank you.
The opportunity for Roynet to expand its ICT cluster has been something we've been looking at for the last couple of years. Roynet split the group into its three segments, as you said, and the ICT cluster was really made up of Nashua being the main party, Nashua Communications a party, and then one or two smaller entities. 6 years ago, when Roynet acquired ECN, we brought in the voice business and we moved more into telecoms, and fortunately for all of us, the ECN introduction has been a success. The business has grown nicely, and we've seen the potential to expand further. Hence, the split in the ICT sector into two segments now, one being the office automation side and the other one being the telecommunications or communications cluster. The cluster's plans over the next couple of years are to expand the businesses within that group, covering areas of the communication sector being, one, communications, PABXs, whether they be physical or virtual, connectivity, be it fixed or wireless or leased, and then more cloud and content. So we're just starting. The Skywire acquisition is our first step into a connectivity play. We really like the footprint. It fits into the base and the network of dealers that the Nashua and the ICT channel have, and we think it's going to bring a lot of synergy as we go forward from owning a wireless infrastructure provider.
Well, we'll talk a bit more in later in the podcast about what your plans are in terms of growing the telecommunications side of the business. But Mondi, if I could ask you to jump in here, and I know we've spoken in some detail before about Skywire, but for the benefit of everyone listening, if you don't mind, can you tell me a bit about the background of Skywire, how it got its start, and the story behind its growth? And Jaco, feel free to jump in at any time.
Thank you, Duncan.
Duncan, we started in 2004, and it was based on an idea that we had where we said we want to provide customers with remote offsite backups. And from there on, it just grew where it was the customers required more services, and they wanted email and internet and telephony services. And eventually it just grew to such a nature where we realized that the growth in the business lies in owning a network and having a countrywide network where we can provide the last mile services. And that is where we're standing today, and the growth path came through that whole idea. It wasn't planned out initially. It was, as I said, it was a hobby, and it grew up to this.
So how did you guys meet? What was the genesis of the business? Did you guys know each other? Had you worked together in the past?
Duncan, yes, we've known each other for quite a while. I used to work in the corporate sector, and I actually, believe it or not, was buying some of my equipment at that point in time from Mondi. And those were the starting days of computers as such, and we grew over some time. We met each other in these shops and we became good friends. I moved to Cape Town. We had a business in Cape Town, and the opportunity, like Mondi explained, arose because at that point in time we had Telkom, and the only available lines from a data perspective was Diginet, and as you know, they were quite expensive, and there was a need to provide high-end, high quality and high bandwidth services across an alternative medium, and that's how we actually started in the network game, providing services via the wireless infrastructure.
Okay, so you'd both been in the ICT industry and you knew the game.
We've both been in the ICT game. I was at Liberty Life for 10 years.
Yeah.
Before we started Skywire.
Okay. So it's been you've had rapid growth in that period. I know we spoke last time. You secured a deal, I think relatively early on, with one of the incumbent operators for high sites. I don't know if I can name them. Telkom, and you've grown from there, providing alternative last mile solutions.
Now, the challenge came in where we realized that if you want to provide a carrier grade service, we had to make sure that we can differentiate ourselves by not going onto every building or flat of block of flats and stuff like that. So we said we want to go to the Telkom High sites, and we secured a contract with them to deploy from the Telkom sites. It's a tedious process, it's an expensive process, but for us it's paid off. We never had the requirement to have spectrum at that stage. So because of all the Telkom sites that are secure, there's power, it's regulated, everything. So that gave us the opportunity to provide carrier-grade services, and that was a big step in our business to grow to this point.
Okay, and you using unlicensed spectrum to do that? Or?
We're using licensed as well as unlicensed spectrums nowadays.
Okay. So which licensed spectrum do you use? Okay.
Duncan, we've got various spectrums that we currently utilize, 7, 8 gigahertz, 15, 28, 23.
Okay.
So
it's high-frequency point-to-point stuff.
It's high-frequency point-to-point, and then obviously we utilize the ISM bands as well to produce point-to-multipoint scenarios.
Okay. And how big is the business now in terms of reach and customers? What are some of the key numbers?
We operate in all 9 provinces countrywide and in all the big metros of each province. As far as we could establish, we currently cover all the Nashua branches across the country. We've got connectivity in all those areas where they are, so that fits our purpose in this transaction very well. And our customer base is predominantly JSE-listed multinational, international customers that we supply. We started dabbling in the home user market.
Yes, I remember.
That's fairly new for us now. Mm. But it's actually working for us, and we've got a great model around it with good rules. So the feedback on that is good as well.
Okay. Where have you rolled that out so far?
We roll it out countrywide, anywhere.
Everywhere.
Wherever there's a requirement, we provide that.
Okay.
Business, home, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Now, I suppose one of the challenges of being an entrepreneur and building a company is deciding whether to, and if you do decide to, when to sell your business if someone comes knocking on the door. Why decide to sell at this point, and why ruin it?
Duncan, we've been looking for a partner for quite a while. We were looking at expanding into the African region, and obviously, as you know, it's quite capital intensive doing that. And we also needed to expand the network to cover every centimeter of South Africa. And we've been dealing with some of the sub-departments of the RealNet Group where we've been providing services and looking at what Nashua and ECN actually does in the market. It was a fit with what we wanted to sell out there. It's always important to own the last mile. If you own the last mile, you can serve as a customer, and it made sense. It just made sense. It was the right fit, the right company, the right ideologic ideas. They shared the same vision as we share, and that's why we decided to approach them with this deal.
Okay, so you went to them, and had you met these guys before, Andy, or was this?
We've been using, I think we first met Yaku and Mondi when they came to visit ECN in the early days, and we were looking at using wireless backhaul. So both ECN and Skywire were started about the same time. So okay. We were both brand new in a brand new market, and it's nice that we can bring things together down at the end. But yes, we have utilized Skywire's services backhaul. Interesting, Yaku says, you know, it's important to own the last mile. ECN's success model was always to be last mile or backhaul agnostic.
Right.
And the two synergies now are coming together, which is quite nice because both models work and both models have a place. Mm. In a very big and built-up metro, it's easier to lease because there's so much capacity and so much on offer. Mm. In the rural areas, it's very difficult to get a connection out there. So if you can then control and manage your connectivity in that space, that's great. And that's what we liked about it, was the national coverage. The national franchises will tell you that 37 franchises cover every inch of the South Africa. We need a network that can cover that as well. And because of their relationship with Telkom, we spoke about a little bit earlier, and the spread of the network, we can do that in pretty much all of the spaces. So the synergies definitely work.
Okay. Well, talk about the three companies that sit inside this cluster now. Skywire, the newest, of course, and ECN and Nashua Communications. Maybe, Andy, just give us an idea of how you see those businesses working together in the future.
What we're doing at the moment is trying to put together a cluster of companies that have their own strengths, their own customer base, their own share of the market. This is not a short-term plan to integrate and put it together in one single blob.
Right.
There's opportunities for growth in all of them. The three businesses are in different stages of their life cycles. National Communications being the oldest, they've been selling the Siemens product in the market for a long time. We all know what's happened in the hard physical PABX space. And for a number of years, we've been looking at a migration strategy for National Communications. It's moved away from being purely a Siemens-based business and support. It's now moved very much into a system integrator role where we integrate and can consolidate and sell and support a vast range of different IT technologies. So it's the skill set that puts the boxes and the bits together. We've spent the last 18 months with National Communications looking very strongly and driving successfully into the Skype for Business space.
Yes.
We've become the leading player with Microsoft in South Africa in that sector. And where that is working with a lot of interesting opportunities is the large corporates who have vast installed Siemens infrastructure who want to move into a more cloud-based technology. They can't simply walk away from the assets that they have. And we're seeing a very nice model to migrate slowly with infrastructure that's still got a number of years of life, but add on the cloud opportunities of the Skype for Business. Plus a lot more in the space of full solutions, whether it's boardroom configuring, cloud linking the boardrooms, all of the coordination of electronic media. So National Communications has certainly changed its track and is now finding its way in a very nice niche. It has a national footprint of technicians that are highly skilled with large experience bases out there because we support the big corporates, and that offsets nicely with where we are. The ECN business has always been a voice business. For the first 7 or 8, 9 years, we've driven voice. We've moved that business more away from a voice only to more of a full service. So we've expanded into virtual PABXs. We have physical PABXs and obviously into voice and data. Our backhaul was generally always over telecom. We've taken to the last mile providers a more diverse offering. So we use wireless backhaul, be the likes of Skywire. We use LTE for backhaul, and we use the other providers. We've moved into the fiber space. We've expanded the data network. The Roynet announcements that came out with their last results, you saw the capital injection into the ECN network. It's a very big network now, a robust network, adding hundreds of customers a month still, 10 years down the line and growing. And every customer we need to connect, we need backhaul. We now have a backhaul partner that we have inside the group. Obviously, wireless doesn't work everywhere. Fiber takes a long time to install. We can work opportunities between the two businesses.
Okay. I know ECN isn't the focus of this discussion, but there's obviously been huge changes in that voice market over the last few years with interconnection rates coming down. That process seems largely to have come to an end now. But how has that affected ECN? What do the volumes look like? What do the margins look like?
From an ECN point of view, the volume has been very good. We're adding more customers than we've ever added. So the people are moving for the service rather than the price. We got into the market because prices were exorbitantly high. Prices have now normalized with the exchange rates where they've been. Our prices are actually lower than a lot of the international markets now that we used to try and benchmark ourselves down to. So the price platform, I think, has been reached. I think we all agree with that. And we're not finding we're selling now on price. You know, it's what can you offer your customer? We focus from an ECN point of view. We've moved from the large enterprise space to the smaller SME and the medium-sized business. They're looking for a full-service offering. They're looking for a voice, data, PABX, hosted PABX, call recording offering, and it's a bundling of solutions. So it's not purely a voice business, although voice is obviously still a key part.
Yeah.
Everybody is seeing we all the way we operate. We use WhatsApp. You use Skype call out. A lot of off-network type traffic or real data voice calling. You see that across the customer base. Your customers making slightly fewer calls, but with the volume of customers coming on and the drop-off in usage, and everybody 9 years ago said voice would become a commodity. I don't think it's going to be. It's what we do. It's what we use. It's how we work. It's how we operate. When it comes to a business point of view, people are still investing a huge amount of money on voice conferencing facilities. They need to talk to each other.
Yeah.
They need to see each other and talk to each other. So we're comfortable that the voice business is stable and growing, and the added values that we're adding to that will far exceed what the voice can bring. So we've got very bullish outlook for all of the businesses in that space.
Skywire plays in the voice business as well, doesn't it? Is it a big part of your business? Mondi?
Duncan, we started off with voice initially, and we terminated via a third party, and then we said we're not going to actively grow that business until we have our own platform on which we can terminate our own voice. Subsequently, we bought ourselves a Porta 1 billing engine, and we've been using that for the past couple of years, and it's been very successful. It's very stable. But no, the voice is not that big a focus for us. For us, it's really the last mile connectivity. It is the broadband that comes along with that. And then if there's voice to be terminated, we would do that as well as a byproduct. But it is not our sole focus.
It's not your main focus.
No.
Okay. Andy, let's talk a bit about the telecommunications business. You're clearly building up a bigger telecommunications focus within the Reunert Group. Is this the first of several acquisitions in the space that you're planning to make? Do you now bed down Skywire, leave it for a while, and then look for new opportunities, or are you actively pursuing further deals after this one?
It's certainly not a acquire this one, bed it down, and then start looking. I think we've got a process where we're looking at a number of different areas so that we can cover the areas that we think are going to be important down the line. As I said to you, the communication, we can still expand in that space from what we've got. Connectivity, absolutely. We now have a wireless provider. There's a number of other different forms of connectivity that can go out there. Content and cloud is important to us. So we want to look at opportunities in that space. If there's businesses that are available that we can think will buy as a part of that landscape that we want to play in, that's what we will look at doing. So there are others in process. I think probably 18 months ago, 2 years ago, you did an article with Mark Taylor, and we were talking about where we wanted to grow and how we wouldn't. You know, we were going to invest in the space. It took us a while to get going. It's difficult to find good assets. And what we've set ourselves out to do is make sure we acquire good assets, assets that are growing. They're early life cycle, they're well led, they're well managed, and there's potential growth. So not buying old established businesses, we want businesses that are in their early life cycle that can grow, and we can add to that growth by funding, experience, knowledge, capacity, reach, and that's what's important. I think that the reach that the Reunert ICT segment can bring to the companies in that group is fantastic. Nashua has dominated the office automation space for years. They've got 30,000 plus clients. If we can take another service to each one of those, you don't need to go and find new customers. And that's where the value is. So it's enticing for the people who are selling their business because you get access to a very big channel and an opportunity. So it's a good balance. That's why the synergies work. But we want to keep the business as standalone. Your comment or discussion around the voice with Skywire, that's an obvious synergy that we can look at, maybe an efficiency we can take out, but it's not the reason we've acquired the business. We're not going to start taking efficiencies out now. We want to drive synergies and we want to drive growth in the segments.
Okay. Jaco, maybe I could bring you in here. You've in the press release that was issued regarding this deal, it was stated that Skywire is particularly interested in expanding in other markets in Africa. Can you talk a bit about what you've done so far in that space and what you're looking at doing?
Duncan, yes, we've been actively involved in trying to acquire partners in the rest of Africa, and we've been successful so far, so we are actually currently in the process of signing deals and establishing companies in some of the SADC countries surrounding South Africa. The idea is to obviously take our model and obviously slightly adjust so that it suits the market that we are penetrating and supplying services based on what we've been doing in South Africa. Africa has got a great demand for this type of service. As you know, it's an undeliverable area. The big problem that we've got is currently a lot of the guys are operating on the fiber, but the fiber is limited in its reachability. And with our technology, you know, we can expand and cover vast areas in a very short period and time span. So yes, we are looking at various countries. We've been looking at Botswana especially. We've been looking at some of the neighboring states, Swaziland, Lesotho. We're looking at Zambia as one of the countries we're looking at. And there's various other countries that will follow.
Okay, but working through partners rather than going in directly yourself?
We will be working via partners for now. This is the model that we've been looking at. And the reason why we're doing this, it's far better from a political perspective to actually involve people that actually know the politics, they understand the environment, and it just makes it much easier from a rollout perspective.
Does Reunert have businesses in those markets that could potentially help Skywire with that expansion?
Reunert does have some national franchises that are out of the country. You would have also seen in the Reunert a year ago acquired a company called Zamifa, which is in the copper business from the copper cabling area in Zambia. The CBI Group, the African Cables Electric Group, actually runs on the SkyWire network and has been running on the SkyWire network for a number of years. Mm. And they're in the process of trying to backhaul a link out of Zambia at the moment to assist and bring that into their wide area network. So the synergies are there. The strategy from Roynet point of view over the last couple of years has been, and Alan Dixon has been driving the let's not be as exposed to the South African market. So I think 30% of our revenue is now coming in hard currency from offshore. So this drive into that suits and matches the Roynet synergy, and the two working together can help. So we're excited about the opportunity outside of the borders.
Okay. Mondi, your clients, I know you've been particularly successful in the mining industry. Is that right?
Duncan, yes. What we found of our network, because it's so easy to grow the network and expand it and deploy it so rapidly, that we have a huge amount of customers in outlying regions.
Where there's no other ones.
Where there's no fiber and stuff like that. Mm. So yes, there's a big market for us in those areas, and hence we do a lot in the mining sector, in the leisure sector, it's in all of those markets and outlying regions we find that there's a need for our type of service, for telephony as well as for data, pure VPNs running between companies from a mine to a head office to another mine, mm. stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. And your growing focus on the consumer market, does that continue post-acquisition? You continue to serve that retail
market?
Yes,
it will, but it is not our main focus. It's something that if it comes around, there's a customer, we will sign up the customer, but it's not something that we're actively focusing on. It's purely because of the publicity that we have that we find that there is customers approaching us with that requires that type of service, and we will address that then at that stage.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's not a big drive that we have.
Right. I suppose people see your vans. I see your vans all over town. So,
That's good.
So I guess people see SkyWire Telecommunications
and
exactly.
they phone you. Yeah. And then we get inquiries from them. Mm.
Okay. So I remember last time we spoke, Mondi, you said that you were keen potentially to participate in the process for bidding for spectrum as part of the high demand spectrum allocation process. Is that still something that you guys could possibly participate in? And Andy, would Roynet support that? Because, I mean, obviously it would be a big outlay if you were going to bid in that. Yaku.
Duncan, well, you know, yes, most definitely. I mean, we are not at that point where we can actually be for spectrum, but I think with a partner like Roynet now, or being part of the group, I think that becomes a far better reality and possibility for us to actually do that. It is still something that we would like to look at if we could own some national spectrum, especially in the point-to-multipoint market, because that will secure a more business-like market that we would like to enter into.
The spectrum is interesting. I think if the business model stacks up, then yes, having Roynet backing would be useful for the group. I think with all of the confusion in the market around the WOAN and what's going to happen with that, there may be access to licensed spectrum coming through that platform that might help an operator like SkyWire or in that case ECN as well. So we'll play it by ear. We'll have a look at what's happening in the space and see where we are. I don't think anybody's going to be buying or selling spectrum at the moment when we don't know whether it's going to be available for sale or it's going to be taken back. So
we'll just
watch the market at the moment and see what's happening. But it's a very interesting space, and as Yaku and Mondi say, if it makes sense for us to move into that space because it can move us up or improve or enhance what we might be able to offer the customer base, then we will certainly look at it.
I wanted to ask you, Andy, I don't know if you've had a chance to read the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, but just wanted to get your views broadly on the wholesale open access network and whether it makes sense in your view, and secondly, whether it's something you'd want to participate in as an investor.
It's an interesting question, and I think one that you swing backwards and forwards on the value and not. I think obviously there's a lot of resistance from the major networks who own the spectrum and are in that play at the moment. If we look at it from entities of the size of ECN and SkyWire and other new entrants into the space, or next generation operators as we call them or call ourselves, it would appear to be an opportunity. It's would be beyond most small companies' reach to have a national wholesale network in the mobile spectrum space.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could get access to that, it would give you a much wider reach to a customer base and a lot of different opportunities. So from a personal view, I think if it came into being, it would benefit the companies such as ECN and Skywire in the space. I don't think it would be bad for us, but I think the timeline of it actually happening and whether it will ever happen, there's going to be a lot of litigation and a lot of debate along that road for a long time. So
not something you can peg your hopes on just at the moment.
I think if we were going to stall our business model for it to come to effect, we wouldn't be doing much for a number of years. So
right.
We're going to carry on with our plans and see what happens and monitor on a daily basis as it comes to fruition or not.
Okay. Great. The deal, just lastly, the deal is still subject to regulatory approvals. What does that mean? Competition Commission approval?
No. Due to the size of the deal, we don't have competition approval. We don't require the competition approval. So it's around DECASA approvals. It's completion of conditions precedent, okay. Approval from general market segments. But from a competition point of view, we're in the clear.
Oh, because you're buying some spectrum. That's why you need the DECASA approvals. Okay.
Yeah.
But you expect it's going to be wound up, or the deal's going to be done quite soon. I think you said the end of February.
Yeah, we believe we'll be complete. Completion date will be before the middle of February, and then the business will come into Roynet at the end of February. And we don't see anything at the moment that's going to delay that. So we're quite excited. And as the guy said to you when you came in here, it's been a busy week. There's a lot of admin to do. There's a lot of processes and a lot of boxes to tick, but everybody's got their shoulder to this wheel, and it's really looking promising. So we don't see any delay. We're looking forward to having Skywire in the Roynet stable.
Shortly.
Very shortly.
Mondi Hutting and Yaku Fasachi are co-founders of Skywire Technology, and Andy Openshaw is CEO of the communications cluster at Roynet. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thanks very much.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.